Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mist Dragon by D.K. Holmberg. Narrated by Matt Godfrey. Chapter 1. Flying with the massive iron dragon left him with a feeling of calm, and Jason Dreschen enjoyed the way the wind swirled around him. Rather than with wings beating at the sky the way most dragons flew, the Iron Dragon propelled himself forward on bursts of heat and energy, something that made him special and unique. The calm was disturbed by the strange burst of dragon power that had drawn him here. Jason wasn't even sure how to describe it other than power. It had flooded him, nearly overwhelming him, and then had faded. It was enough to know Lorak moved. Jason and the Iron Dragon circled over the forest, patrolling the outer edge of Dragonhaven. There was movement. These days there was often movement around Dragonhaven, though most of the time that movement came from the Dragon Guard in their attempt to ensure the safety of their community. Charisse and Olar, the rulers of Dragonhaven, asked that of the Dragon Guard, recalling them from their fight as leaders of the rebellion, worried about what Lorak would attempt next. He'd considered going to the Dragon Guard to share with them what he'd detected, but he had a feeling they wouldn't listen. They were convinced they didn't need to listen, not to him. He wasn't Dragon Guard, despite having protected Dragonhaven repeatedly. That didn't keep Jason from doing what he could to offer his unique protections. Given his connection to the misfit dragons and the fact that the dragons he had bonded to were so different from the others within Dragonhaven, he could do more. A flicker of movement caught his attention, and through the connection he shared with the Iron Dragon, they veered toward it. Both he and the dragon had noticed it at the same time. Jason connected to the Iron Dragon's eyesight. Learning that he could do so, attaching to the dragon in a way that allowed him to see what the dragon saw, had given him an advantage that others did not share. He saw the world as flashes of orange and red, layers of heat that stretched over the forest. There were some aspects that were lighter in color, such as the forest floor and even the trees. Other aspects flared brighter within the dragon's eyesight, squirrels and other small creatures that navigated through the forest. Larger animals, like the deer that scurried at the first sight of the dragon. Other dragons blazed even brighter. Eyesight like that made the Iron Dragon an incredible hunter. He didn't have enough of a connection to other dragons to know whether they shared something similar, only that the Iron Dragon did. The Ice Dragon, another dragon misfit that Jason had bonded to, shared his eyesight in much the same way, though everything Jason could see through the Ice Dragon was a little different. Cooler. The Ice Dragon searched for movement almost more than he did heat, though he did see gradations of heat. It made everything appear different. As they neared the location of the forest floor where he had seen the movement, Jason couldn't identify what it was. He tapped on the dragon's side. "What do you think that was?" The dragon rumbled. "Nothing tasty." Jason chuckled. The dragons were ferocious hunters, and the Iron Dragon in particular had a way of moving through the trees that made him especially deadly. He could slither through the trees so unexpectedly that he never went hungry. "Not tasty, but it wasn't anything to be concerned about."
"I've seen no other dragons."
Jason stared into the distance, his gaze drawn toward Lorak. Since his escape, there had been signs of movement out of Lorak, but they had not attacked. There was no evidence that Lorak even came toward them. It was a matter of time, though. Jason, along with others within Dragonhaven, knew that Lorak would eventually bring forces to bear upon Dragonhaven. They blamed the rebellion, and Jason in particular now, for what had happened to them. More than that, Jessica, the person who essentially led in Lorak, would stop at nothing to overpower Jason and claim the misfits.
"They have to be out there," he said. "The others have kept watch. We do not need to do this." Jason smiled slightly. By others, he knew the Iron Dragon meant the dragons of the Dragon Guard. They patrolled, sweeping through the forest, keeping concealed as much as possible with the illusion Jason had cast upon them, making them appear to outsiders as nothing more than large birds. Perhaps birds that were out of place, but birds nonetheless. They would look like eagles, or massive sparrows, or other birds that fit within the forest. Jason tried to make sure they were as appropriate for this space as possible, though that wasn't always easy. The others are patrolling, but I feel as if this is something I need to do.
You need to trust that they are capable, the Iron Dragon said.
Jason smiled to himself. He was right, but that didn't make it any easier.
You have other business you need to be doing anyway.
He chuckled again. The Iron Dragon urged him in ways that the Ice Dragon didn't. There was a heat within him, along with some irritation, though Jason knew it was only because he wanted to help. By other business, you mean understanding my parents.
You know what business.
I know what business, but I have a feeling you don't know what business, Jason said. The dragon rumbled and turned suddenly, veering away from the outskirts of the forest edge, taking them back toward Dragonhaven. He led them away from Lorok and away from danger. It was probably for the best. Jason had no interest in battling with dragon souls from Lorok. Though if he did, he knew he could free dragons. He had done so before. At least until Jessica had learned to counter the effect of what he had done. With her newfound skill, Jason worried that he would not be able to save more of the Lorok dragons from slavery. You don't need to turn back quite so quickly, Jason said.
I need to hunt. You need to do the same.
If I need to hunt, then
not that kind of hunting.
In the distance, the outskirts of Dragonhaven came into view. There was an illusion over the entirety of the city, masking it from any outsiders, though to Jason's eyes, the illusion shimmered, fluttering slightly so that he could see beyond it. It took very little for him to make out the outline of the city through the illusion itself. He held on to that illusion, tugging on the power of it, and tested it. For a moment, some aspect of the illusion flickered. Jason sat upright, frowning. Did you see that?
I see nothing,
the Iron Dragon said. Jason frowned. The illusion was such that it masked everything within Dragonhaven, concealing even the heat of the dragon's eyes. He borrowed from the Iron Dragon again, using his connection to look down and see if there was anything that he might uncover within the city. But as he did, he found nothing. Through the dragon's eyes, it looked as if it were nothing more than a stretch of forest, perhaps a stretch where there was an absence of other movement. Though Jason had hesitated at the idea of forcing more heat through the illusion, to avoid the likelihood that a dragon might decide to hunt here and uncover Dragonhaven. As far as he could tell, the illusion held. Some aspect of it didn't feel quite right, though. Despite his ability to see down below him, to make out the illusion, he worried why he had seen a flickering. This was all that stood between them and discovery. If Lorok decided to send a squadron of dragons their way, sweeping over the forest, it would be a simple matter for them to find Dragonhaven without the illusion. Or maybe not. That might simply be Jason's arrogance. Dragonhaven had survived without his presence for decades, centuries even. The city itself was old and remained from a time long ago when dragons were revered in this part of the world. The artifacts set throughout the city, many of them sculpted in the shape of dragons, suggested that. The people of Dragonhaven all shared a similar philosophy. All wanted to help the dragons, and none wanted to see them trained the way the dragon souls would do. Both groups had the same powers, though, which limited what Dragonhaven could do against Lorok. They circled for a moment over Dragonhaven, and Jason continued studying the illusion, watching to ensure that there was no change to it, and testing whether there was anything more that might have indicated a flickering of power. He saw nothing. It should have relieved him, and he supposed that it did. But he also wanted to ensure that the illusion was solid. He called upon the power of the forest dragon, feeling her distantly. His connection to her was different than the one he shared with the iron and the ice dragons. Whereas those dragons readily lent him strength, the forest dragon didn't often do the same. She had power that she gifted to him, though with a reluctance. Much of the illusion Jason utilized came from himself, almost more so than it did from the forest dragon. He used that now, trying to borrow some of her power, knowing that if he were to do so, the effect would be far more significant and would force the illusion to take greater hold over Dragonhaven.
"Are you done?" the Iron Dragon snorted, twisting so that he could look over at Jason.
Jason chuckled to himself.
"I think so.
I would have you leave me."
They descended, crashing through the illusion. Knowing that it was there gave Jason the ability to anticipate where it would pass over him. But it still was a bit jarring going through what looked to be the forest, and suddenly seeing the city spread out below him. The entirety of Dragonhaven consisted of domed roof buildings, all made of stone, and it was massive, occupying the space in a clearing within the forest. Somehow, the forest had grown around the city and did not appear to have tried to grow over it. It was a marvel Dragonhaven had never been discovered before. They came to land in a small clearing on the outskirts of the city. It was a space designated for dragon landings, large enough for a dozen dragons to cluster, all of them capable of taking riders. But it was also large enough for the half dozen or so small dragons that frolicked. Because dragon eggs were rare, the younger dragons were prized. They had all been rescued from Lorok before they had been trained, which allowed the people within Dragonhaven to establish a connection to the dragons to help ensure they never suffered the way that dragons within Lorok did. Jason climbed down from the Iron Dragon's back and patted him on the side, feeling the heat flowed, though not dramatically. He had always managed to withstand the heat coming off the Iron Dragon, and now was no different. He could feel that energy shifting along the dragon's side, practically slipping along the surface of his body. He had considered the dragon a construct of molten metal, though he didn't know if that was an accurate description. He did seem to be made of metal, which was why his method of flying was so different. The dragon slithered off, drifting into the forest. He moved quickly, and, unsurprisingly, he could move just as quickly along the ground as he could through the air. Jason looked around the clearing and was surprised that there were no other dragon trainers out. Three of the small hatchlings frolicked near one end of the yard, but there were no other dragons present. He hadn't paid attention to whether the dragons were startled by his arrival with the Iron Dragon, though he suspected they were not. Dragonhaven was built centuries ago, and by people who revered the dragons. The artifacts scattered all throughout the city fascinated Jason. Some were sculptures, markers of power that the dragons once possessed, and others were in the style of the buildings themselves. Many buildings were made of stone, though with curves that didn't exist anywhere else. None seemed made of wood, or any that were had long ago decayed. Dragonhaven was a massive city, far larger than the population who occupied it now. Those who did were all part of the rebellion battling with the people of Lorok, striving for the freedom of the dragons. He headed into the city. There were others out, though many were people Jason didn't know. Dragonhaven was large enough that there were often people he didn't know, but he was often absent from the city as well, which made getting to know the people a little bit more difficult. He made his way along the cobbled street and found himself meandering along the outskirts of the forest. It was as if he avoided going into the city. In reality, that was part of what he was doing. He was aware enough to acknowledge that he had no interest in visiting with his mother, especially as she was the person he avoided most. He felt betrayed by her, though he knew he shouldn't. After wandering, Jason found himself at the edge of the forest, the city behind him. He stared toward the trees. This place was so much warmer than his home. When he had grown up living in the northern mountains, suffering with the cold and the ice, he had come to terms with what it meant to survive there. He had grown skilled, competent even at survival. In order to thrive in his village, that was a necessity. The only difference now was that Jason recognized that what he had been doing was not living. Even now, he wasn't entirely sure that what he was doing was living. It felt as if he were singularly focused, tied to helping dragons. Which, perhaps, was not necessarily a bad thing.
"I think you've been avoiding me."
Jason turned to see his mother standing behind him. She was dressed in clothes befitting Dragonhaven. A loose-fitting, pale blue dress cinched at the waist with a leather strap. A pouch hung over one shoulder, and he could imagine that she had it filled with medicines and herbs that she had collected outside the city. As a healer, his mother would have been valued in any place, not the least within Dragonhaven. Jason's connection to the dragons, and the power they lent him to heal others, could only go so far. It couldn't be used to restore everyone, even though the power often felt limitless. "I haven't been avoiding you. There are things that I'm responsible for." She nodded, her hands clasped in front of her as she watched him. It was strange for him to see her like this after she had been so long incapacitated. She looked well. He had spent so much time trying to ensure that she survived, that she was cared for. And now that she was upright and active and alert, he knew that he should be pleased that he had helped her. But he couldn't shake the feeling that he'd been misled his entire life.
"You've always been the responsible one."
"That was Father," he said, turning away. She joined him at the edge of the forest.
"It's easier for me to collect some of the medicines here."
Jason glanced over. Her graying hair was pulled back into a braid. The wrinkles along the corners of her eyes were deeper than he remembered, and there was a hint of a frown etched across her face, something so familiar to him, along with the determined set to her jaw.
"After he was gone, you took over his responsibilities. Neither Kayla nor I would have survived were it not for you."
Jason nodded. "I did what I needed to do," he said.
"And he would have been proud of the man that you've become," she said.
Jason looked at her. "He taught me what I needed to know."
"Did he?"
She started to reach for him, but withdrew when Jason stiffened.
"I wonder if perhaps we made a mistake bringing you there."
"You didn't bring me there. You had me there." She nodded.
"I suppose that's true."
"You suppose?" He had wondered when he was younger how his mother had learned the different healing arts that she had mastered. There weren't many within his village who had her same knowledge of medicines and herbs. It was possible she had learned some of it in Varman, the larger city down the back slope of the mountain, though he had never known for certain. She didn't speak of it. Now he understood why. "Why that place?"
"You would like to do this now.
Is there another time?" She started to smile, but it faded quickly. She watched him before turning to look back out toward the forest.
"I have been trying to talk with you for weeks, ever since you learned you've avoided me."
"I haven't been avoiding you." Distantly, Jason was aware of the Iron Dragon as he moved through the forest and felt the heat of their connection. Within the Iron Dragon was a sense of anger and rage that always seemed to boil beneath the surface. That anger stemmed from what had been done to him when he was younger, the way that he had been captured and held within cells deep beneath the ground. And it was that anger that bonded him to Jason. Because of that connection, he could use the heat of the Iron Dragon. "There has been much I've needed to do. The last few weeks have been filled with preparations for dealing with Lorok. Jessica knows about the dragons now, and she will bring the dragon souls to us.
They have known about Dragonhaven for years,
his mother said softly. Known about, but they haven't known how to find it.
You have protected it.
She glanced up at the sky. From this vantage, the illusion was translucent. Few within Dragonhaven knew it even existed. There was no need. It was better for the people of Dragonhaven to believe that the city itself was protected. And they didn't need to know that he had placed the illusion to offer an additional layer of protection. It would only make them scared.
From what I understand, you have control over powers we didn't fully understand within Lorok.
By that, you mean illusion. She glanced over at him before nodding.
I learned enough of it, she started. We had to, for us to remain hidden.
I gathered that much, Jason said.
I figured you had. We hated that we had to hide it from you and your sister, but we thought that it was necessary.
Why, though?
To ensure your safety. Had we not, you would have been targeted.
Jason pointed to one of his eyes. What about this? You didn't cover this. She shook her head.
Placing an illusion over ourselves was fairly straightforward. But placing it over someone else?
She shook her head again.
Especially when you were away from us. It became more difficult. You had some talent. But other than the enhanced eyesight it permitted you, we never really worried about it. There were few in the North who understood it, anyway.
It made me different, Jason said.
There were many things that made you different, she said softly.
Jason grunted. As much as he wanted to deny it, there was no point in doing so. He was a misfit, no different than the dragons that he worked with. He, like the dragons, did not fit in. Even within Dragonhaven, Jason didn't necessarily fit in. He tried, and with his connection to the dragons, he was allowed to remain. And more than that, he was trusted to work with others here, if only so that he could help them understand the dragons better. But he still wasn't like them. Jason didn't know if he could be. Perhaps he never would be. Did he ever know I could use this power?
His mother shook her head.
I would be lying if I told you he knew. That I knew. Neither of us believed that it was possible, not without having the opportunity to connect to a dragon.
Jason closed his eyes. He could feel the distant ice dragon flying high overhead. His energy was there, circling. He had to do nothing more than focus on the ice dragon and call to him, and he would come. He would prefer to be with either of them than talking about this with his mother. But he had avoided it too long. I don't know that I ever would have learned about my connection were it not for one of the misfits. And because of Father, I had that opportunity. She looked over at him.
I don't know how much he knew that he was helping a dragon versus harming a dragon soul.
Jason remembered his conversation with Theron, and how he had believed that Jason had come across the egg by chance, knowing what he did now of his father, and believing that he had been involved in placing the egg, left Jason wondering if perhaps it had been more coordinated than he had realized. If only he had the opportunity to talk to Theron, to question him and see what he might really have known. If he were really looking to the past, wishing he had an opportunity to speak to someone who was dead, he would wish for a chance to speak to his father. That opportunity was gone, and now he had to piece together aspects of what he might have been able to learn from his father. It was more difficult than Jason could imagine. What happened? When he had first learned that his parents were dragon souls, he had been shocked to the point that he hadn't questioned, not like he wanted to. His mother had offered him answers, but they were more placating answers, not real in-depth responses. Given how she had been sick and had recently recovered, Jason wasn't sure if she would be able to offer him the answers that he wanted. Now, looking at her and how vibrant and alive she looked, and having heard from others within the city that she had taken to wandering the forest and collecting various leaves and roots and herbs for her medicines, he had to believe that she was well enough to answer questions. "Why did you leave Lorok?" She shook her head slowly.
"Many people leave Lorok."
"How many dragon souls leave?" She took a deep breath, letting it out slowly.
"Not many," she said softly. "We weren't as powerful as some."
She shrugged, glancing over at him before turning away again.
"Strong enough, though. We had a connection to dragons and had been training with them. We were learning what those connections meant, but neither of us had ever progressed far enough to be sent out on missions to face the rebellion."
Jason looked behind him toward Dragonhaven. "You didn't have to fight anyone here?" She shook her head.
"I think if we would have, coming here would have been harder for me, but also for them."
He shrugged. "I'm not so sure that's true. The people of Dragonhaven are far more forgiving than you would give them credit for. There's another who came to Dragonhaven and has been welcomed."
"Maybe," she said. "I think if we would have been responsible for harming others of the rebellion or the Dragon Guard, we may not have been welcomed here quite the same way."
Jason grunted. Henry was. Her brow furrowed.
"I haven't seen him," she said softly.
"No? He hasn't really been difficult to find. He has a distinct appearance. Between his beard and..." Jason frowned. He supposed that Henry wouldn't be dressed in the same furs as he had been dressed in when Jason had first encountered him. Henry would wear clothing more suited for Dragonhaven. "Anyway, between his beard and his connection to the dragons, I suppose he should be easy enough to find." His mother let out a long sigh.
"I haven't seen him. I don't know that he would even recognize me, though I knew him."
"Why?" She turned to Jason, shaking her head.
"Some things are not for me to share."
Jason frowned. He knew Henry had had a difficult time within Lorok. The scars on him were a testament to that. But other than his time serving as a dragon soul, Jason didn't know all that much about him. It was because of Henry that Jason had come to Dragonhaven. But there would have to be more about him, more secrets.
"You should go to him, tell him."
His mother shook her head.
"And what would I tell him?"
"I don't know, that you are like him, that he's not alone." Jason thought about his experience with Henry, and what the old dragon soul had gone through. He had suffered. Within Dragonhaven, Henry was unique as the only person, or had been prior to Jason's mother's arrival, to have escaped from Lorok. "You could even help with the dragons. They could use somebody who has a connection to them." She tensed.
"I don't think they would permit that."
Jason frowned. "Why don't you think so?"
"I might have a connection to the dragons, or have had one, but for me to find that again is, well, I suppose that it's impossible. I have lost it. That time is behind me."
"It doesn't have to be," Jason said. She took a deep breath, drawing herself up and turning to him. She still hadn't unclasped her hands. There was a tension within her that surprised him, mostly because he suspected that tension was because of him. For so long, Jason had wanted to do whatever he could to protect his mother and sister, to allow them to survive and thrive. They had struggled and had barely held on, especially after his father's death. Learning now that his parents had been dragon souls, and they had come to the north willingly, escaping from Lorok, changed things for him. Perhaps not significantly, though. He never would have learned about the misfits had he grown up in Lorok. He might have ended up as a dragon soul. The idea gave him pause. "I've wondered what Father would have said to me had he learned what I could do with the dragons," Jason admitted.
"I suspect he would be proud of you," she said.
"Proud?" She nodded.
"One of the things that we felt was that the dragons deserved more. While they are well cared for in Lorok, There is something off about the training methods they use. There were quite a few people within Lorak who felt the dragons deserved more. When you first encounter one, when you realize just how intelligent they are.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?